Well, every year we find ourselves here, and it's like Christmas is past. It's not quite the new year. And we're like, what day is it? Like, when does school start? When do I need to be back at work? And within this unique time, there's an opportunity, the gift of hopefully a little bit of space. So I want to welcome you to Cedar Creek, church at home. Every year we love creating a little bit of reflective space where you can worship, where you can be thoughtful, and it allows you to connect with God wherever you find yourself today. So I am really glad that you are here. And I don't know if there are any kids present. If there are, let me know. Shout back at me, right? For those of you that have kids, thanks for bringing them along. And if not, get comfortable. We want you to participate with us. And so here is the goal. Yes, you're going to connect with God, but over the next few minutes, we're going to create a little bit of space for you to see and for you to celebrate where you've seen him at work, where you've experienced some of his good gifts, where you begin to sense and reflect on where he is leading you and inviting you to grow. And then we'll be taking the gift of communion. So here's what you're going to need in order to make these next 30 or so minutes successful. Yes, I will give you a couple of minutes to gather everything, but first listen and then go get it all. And so kids, you can help if you're at home. The first thing that you're going to need to do, is park your phones. Unless you're using it to view this experience, which is fine, I want you to find a place to put your tech. And I know it will be challenging for me too, right? So put it in a box, put it in the other room, and let's just dedicate some space just for you. Again, it'll only last about 30 minutes, so. Second thing I want you to do is get something to write with. Kids, if you want to get crayons and paper and doodle and draw, you can draw a picture of me if you want and then have your parents send it to me on social media or via email after the experience. I have my journal and typically a pen when I'm sitting down to do this. We'll do a little bit of writing. You could draw if that's easier for you. You could be thoughtful. And yes, make it fun. But kids, I also want you to make it meaningful. I mean, for all of you. And the last thing that we're going to do is we're going to take communion together. And so that may mean getting a few things for you to take communion, whether it's milk and cookies, tortilla and Diet Coke, bread and wine. Jesus, he used what was right in front of him. And he brought significance to these simple everyday items in what they represent for us, for those of us who follow him. And so while you gather those things, the band is going to play a song that we will be inviting you to be singing with us in the year ahead. You may have heard of it before. It's called The House of the Lord. And so as you gather those things, you can enjoy the song. And if you have everything set, sing along, sit back, and prepare your heart for a few seconds to connect with God.
Shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house.
Guys sound great. Thanks for playing. You can clap at home if you want. It's not just for the band. It's our way of saying, God, we are so thankful for you. And I don't know what your house looks like, but if it looks like ours this week between Christmas and New Year's, it's kind of unkept. No, this is not my house. I think you know that, right? You know, what I love about the song that we just sang, that we shared with you, is that it reminds us that in the house of God, there's joy, there's freedom, there's life. I want you to think about that. Like, where does God live? Where is His house? First thought for many people is, oh, up in the heavens, out there somewhere. Some people think the house of the Lord is like a church building. But the Bible teaches that you and I, that followers of Jesus, we become His house. Like, He lives within us. And where the house of the Lord is, there is joy and freedom in life. If you don't believe me, look at Ephesians 2:20. First century pastor Paul is teaching the first century church that together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus, Christ Jesus Himself. And we are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish people, are also being made part of His, or this dwelling, where God lives, by His Spirit. And so think about that. Like, when you place your faith in Christ, God's Spirit dwells within us, among us. And I know, kids, that may be a little hard to understand, but the truth is, God came near to us. That's what Christmas is all about. He came near so that we could experience this joy in the house of the Lord, the freedom and life that He promises. So even though your home may not feel like a spiritual place or the house of God, if you're seeking to encounter Him, trust me when I say this, He is near. He is available for you. So I want you to make that your prayer right now. Just open up your hands. Say, God, I'm open to whatever you have for me. Would you take a deep breath and pray that with me? God, I'm open to whatever you have for me today. So if God's Spirit then lives among us and within us, I think it's valuable to kind of take a deep breath and reflect on this past year. And so I'm going to ask you three questions. You're going to take about 30 seconds to reflect, to think, to write if you would like, draw your answers if that's helpful. And if you want, if you're watching this on demand, you can hit pause and even talk about it as a group of friends or family. Or you could do that after the service is over. The goal is to reflect on this past year and to get a sense of what God is doing within us. It says in the Jewish scriptures, in the book of Proverbs, that as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. What that teaches us is when we take time to reflect on what's really going on, we get a picture of our truth and where God is really at work within us. And so I do this every year in my journal. I take time this week in particular to do a little inventory and to celebrate and to think about and reflect on where God is at work. And one of the first questions that I ask or I think about, if you're ready, the question is this: what am I thankful for? Could be something that you experienced this past year that you're like, oh, I am so grateful for that experience. It could be the people in your life. It could be the accomplishments. It could be something that God provided, something that you received. I want you to take 30 seconds and list or draw as many things as you can that you are thankful for. And so do that right now. So was that a little harder than you thought? Maybe it was easier. It was like, oh, you just got started. Well, either way, you'll have more time to do it later, but I want you to review your list right now. And I want you to find one item on your list. I want you to picture it in your head. Maybe they're in the room, it's in the room with you. And I want you to see it as a gift given to you by your Heavenly Father. I want you to imagine God smiling with joy the same way that a parent enjoys watching a kid open an anticipated Christmas gift. Your Heavenly Father loves it when you experience joy. So take a moment and in your heart, picture your Heavenly Father smiling at you over your delight and thankfulness over that one thing. And then just say thanks back. He is such a good father. The next question that I want you to think about are, what challenges have you faced this past year? What moments were hard? Maybe it was school or work or some chore or project. Maybe some tension in a relationship, an internal struggle. Maybe it was health. Maybe you lost something, someone you care about. Maybe you missed an opportunity or made a choice that has had some ongoing consequences. Whatever those challenges are from this year, I want you to write those down now. So how did that go? I imagine some of you thought of a few things, and I know there are a few of you that have really faced a lot this year. And maybe there was some stress for others, but nothing super heavy or specific. What the Bible promises is that God is near to those who have a broken heart, that He draws near to those who need Him, that His strength can be made perfect in our weakness. And so what I want you to imagine right now is that your Heavenly Father is looking at the same list, that He sees it, and that He acknowledges the pain and the hurt in a way that communicates, I see you. I see that pain. I want you to just take a deep breath and for a moment, receive the fact that He notices you, that He loves you, that He cares about you, even when it's hard. It's such an important practice because sometimes it feels like, and it may still feel like, God is very far away. So just take some space to remember that He's near. The last question is, where is God at work? And this may be a little difficult for some of you. Maybe you don't think about this a whole lot. But where have you sensed God's Holy Spirit in your life? What did you learn about God this year? Where did He provide or help or correct a direction you were headed down? I want you to jot down anything that comes to mind. And this could be great discussion for you, your friends, and your family later on today or throughout this New Year's weekend. So go ahead, answer that question now. Sometimes it's hard to know where God is at work. And so if you're like, I don't really even know how to answer that question, I understand. But here's one thing that is true. You'll never know where God is at work if you never look. And so that's why this practice is so valuable. If you engage in it, the more you practice, the more I think you'll see. As I was thinking about this past year, here are some of my answers that may prompt other thoughts for you. Some of the things that I am thankful for from this past year is I'm thankful for, my camping trip with my family for 2 weeks where we went through several national parks. It's easy now to be thankful looking back, but what an experience. Another thing that I'm thankful for is you. Our church, our incredible dream team, and our staff, we have had an incredible year. I'm thankful for my wife and my family and all that they have to put up with and being involved in my life. And I'm thankful for our staff. I'm thankful for the Rockets beating the Falcons this year. I got a long list of things that I'm thankful for. What am I challenged by? Well, I'm still a little hurt over the Notre Dame OSU loss, and I'm used to the disappointment. I know it's silly, but another thing I'm challenged by is I'm running at a slower pace than I have in a long time. That bums me out. And I know those may seem like surface things, but the more I think about what I'm challenged by, there are some spaces as a parent where it became obvious there's some ways in which I need to grow and improve with my kids, especially the older they get. There are a couple of relationships that I have in my life that are not where I want them to be. They're broken, and I'm still challenged by them. I find myself drifting into sometimes resentment or struggling to forgive. I'm still learning how to manage the stress of the job and the season that I'm in without letting it mess me up or the people around me. Those are some things that I've noticed in my life this year. And where have I seen God at work? Well, I think we've seen God at work in our church, in the growth that we've experienced, and the incredible lives changed. I mean, during At the Movies, all the new people that started showing up, that's many of you. I've seen God at work in our dream team. That tent night that we had in the fall where we were singing together in the round, it was amazing. We've had over 472 baptisms this year. Our merger with Stonebridge and the incredible excitement that we see at our Findlay campus. I mean, God is at work. And some of the series that I loved was the Unfazed series where we talked about the Holy Spirit, or the Road to Freedom where we were remembering or maybe introducing you to the first time the tension between trying to do it on our own and trusting God. It's so important. I think about Fusion Camp, the engagement that we're seeing on the app with your prayers and people praying for each other. I mean, God has been at work, and I'm excited about the year ahead. And so over this next week, the goal is to begin thinking about that and exploring, where is God leading us next? Where is God leading you? And God will often speak in themes. And so pay attention to what he may be prompting you to think about. Maybe he'll give you a word or a phrase or a picture. You're only going to know that if you take a little time to listen. And usually, where he gives us a word or a phrase is an area of our life where he wants us to trust him more. Some area of your life where you're trying to control it or do it your way instead of trust. So I would encourage you, especially over these next few days, to just reflect and remember and go, okay, God, where are you at? What are you inviting me to think about? That's essentially what the practice of communion is all about. Paul's encouragement to the first century church and to us today, he says, anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. We should take time to examine what God is doing in our life. Where is He at work? Where is He inviting us to grow? We should not approach communion in an unworthy manner. And so first, let me be clear. Nobody is worthy of communion. Communion is a reminder of God's incredible grace in spite of us. So what is He referring to? Well, taking communion casually, just because it's what church people do, and not really thinking about your life and where God is at work, it's like using God's name in vain. It's totally taking advantage of Him. It's making light of His incredible sacrifice. And so we should examine our lives just like we did, and then reflect on what God has graciously given through His body and blood. And so during this next song, would you just remember and reflect on God's grace in your life and the gift of communion?
This is communion, your body broken, the cup we're drinking is bittersweet, the gift of friendship, true with salvation, born of your suffering on Calvary. We remember the sacrifice of love. We remember the blood poured out for us. We remember the only Son of God upon the cross. From stain to spotless, from wrath to favor, through you our Savior, the for the many and the one. This is communion. Take it as often as you will, for His blood has power still. By His wounds we shall be healed. This is communion. Take of the bread, receive the cup, for His mercy is enough. For the many and the one, this is communion. Take it as often as you will, for His blood has power still. By His words we shall be healed. This is communion. We remember the His wounds we shall be healed. This is communion.
Communion has been practiced by Christians, by the church, since the very beginning. Maybe you've heard the word the Eucharist. It literally means thanksgiving. We are giving thanks for the incredible gift that God has given us, the gift of Jesus. The bread, His body, the wine, the juice, His blood. In Eucharist, it includes the Greek word for grace, charis. And so things that we are thankful for, grace. Things that we are challenged by, we need His grace. Where God is at work, within us, His grace. What it is that we are dependent on and thankful for, His grace. And so here's what that means personally for you and me. If you feel broken today, He gave His body for you. If you feel overwhelmed, He has too. If you feel betrayed or abandoned or left behind, He knows the pain that that can bring. If you feel defeated, He faced the ultimate death and defeat so that we could place all of that upon Him. That's what the bread, His body, represents. So that we could live by not just the bread of earth, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the juice, this is about His blood. The blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said that this blood represents a new covenant, a promise of love, new life, of eternal belonging in God's forever family. And so this is why Jesus says, take and remember. It forces us to think of the good gifts that we've experienced that we are thankful for. And yet we can be incredibly honest with Him about what we are challenged by and find the grace that we need in Him. So wherever you're at, would you take the bread, remembering God's grace, and drink the juice, remembering His blood, receiving His grace and His goodness right now. Let's take these things together.
I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been so
Man, it is so powerful when we take time to remember his goodness. And when I do, I know for me, my heart is full. And so take moments to receive his grace and his goodness as we enter into a new year with all of the delights and certainly all of the challenges that will be ahead. Will you be open to what God has for you? Like, he is so good, you can trust him. And so pay attention to what word or phrase. Say to God, I'm listening. Why? Because he's speaking. And you are here on purpose for a purpose. And so in this year to come, you are going to change for good or for bad, for better or for worse, whether you intend to or not. And so be intentional about the change that you want to see in your life this year. In fact, would you make that your prayer with me right now?
God, we come into your presence with thanksgiving. Thank you for your new mercies each morning, creating a time to start fresh and a time to reflect on your great faithfulness. Thank you that you meet us in every space and every situation. You are the God of our beginnings and ends and our messy middles. So we invite your leading into each day and each moment. Lord, renew our strength as we put our trust and hope in you and you alone. And help us hold tight to hope over fear. Keep our eyes open for your work to see your grace. It's constant amidst all our days. Replace any thoughts of worry, Lord, with how much you care. And may we care for others. May we do and not just hear. Help us trust that your love for us isn't any more or any less than right now. And right now, you are faithful and true. Lord, this is our prayer for this coming year. That each place you take us, we would be all there. Give us words to tell the world of your love and your goodness, for you are so good. God, for all that's been and all that's yet to come, we entrust our lives to your steadfast love. It's in Jesus' name we pray that you let it all be done. Amen.
That is my hope and prayer for each and every one of you. And so thank you for joining us for Church at Home this year. For those of you that got invited by a friend or family member to sit down for this experience and we haven't met, my name's Ben. And I would invite you, if you don't have a church home, to join us online or in person at any point. And really, this experience is our gift to those of you that are new. For those of you that call Cedar Creek home and you trust God financially here, I would encourage you to take a moment to give. You can do that on our app or online or text the word give to 419-419-0707. We are so thankful for the ways that you trust God financially here, and we're excited to see how he's going to use that in the year ahead to impact our community and to make heaven more full. If you want more content, maybe you want to explore the content that we have for kids or for families or even for you or maybe a specific topic, you can go to the Watch tab on our app to explore more. And we have a TV app that you can download to a smart TV to have it right there in front of you. And so we just updated that. You may want to take a few minutes to explore that as well. Next weekend, we kick off our brand new series called The Power to Change, where we're going to talk about the small steps that can lead to big transformation in your life and in the year ahead. And I hope you join us online or physically. But from our team, from our family to yours, Happy New Year.